Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Hebrews 4, and let's pray before we get started. Lord, we again thank you for the time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing that the book of Hebrews has been. Lord, it's so awesome to be able to go through and see what Paul had to say about your nature and the work that you've done and how it's so far above anything that we see in the Old Testament or in the lives of other New Testament characters. You're better than, Lord. And Lord, as we're going through and talking about rest and entering into your rest, we just pray that you give me right words and that you give us all ears to hear what your word says about these things. And we ask that you do this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. Actually, this is, you know, from my point of view, and I'm the one talking, so from my point of view, this is one of the most important chapters in the Bible. If you don't get this one down, you're just gonna struggle. You're just gonna struggle. If you do get this one down, Christianity doesn't become easy, but it becomes something where it's not you doing the work, it's God doing the work through you. And for real, God doing the work through you. And that is just so important. This is basically, obviously, Hebrews 4 comes after Hebrews chapter 3. And in chapter 3, starting in verse 14, just to get a little context, it says, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." And so he's quoting from Psalm 95, and it's a reference to what was going on in the wilderness with the people of God going into the land of Canaan. And God specifically said that they will actually, up. If you look up in verse 11, it says, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." And what Paul does is he launches off from there and he starts talking about the rest of God and what exactly that is and our need to be involved in that, in the sense that this is something that has to take place in the life of a believer. And frankly, if you're ever going to have victory as a Christian, this is stuff that you got to get down. You've got to know this. One of the things that many people, including me, think or thought that Christianity was all about is basically a self-improvement course. So when I got saved, I really believed that I needed Jesus and I needed to be forgiven for my sin. I knew that. God made that really clear to me. But then after that, what happened was I just went back to the way that I always did things. And so my parents had told me, "You can do anything you put your mind to. If you knuckle down, buckle down, do it, do it, do it." You guys know that song? In any case, that was my attitude, and it actually had served me well. And so all the things that I wasn't talented at before that point, and admittedly, I was a teenager, but all the things that I wasn't talented at, I just worked at harder than the people who were around me. And so I was a natural as far as scholastics go and that kind of stuff. It's one of those things. I was that guy who never had to study, and I could get, I could ace my tests, okay? And so that was just a natural thing with me. When it came to sports, for example, when in my freshman year, I was 105 pounds. I wrestled at 105. And so my sophomore year, I was 120 pounds. By the time I got to my junior year, I was 180 pounds. And by my senior year, I was about 190, 195 pounds. And I went out for football my sophomore year, and I was never played before, never. Except, you know, just throwing a football around. But I'd never played football before, and I go out there, and I don't know anything about the game. And I really wanted to play, and I really wanted to start. And so what I did was I worked harder than anybody else on the team. That's how I always got, you know, got on with this stuff. And it was the same thing with track and all this stuff. So I wasn't a natural athlete. It was something that I worked really hard at. And so it was like that in other areas in my life too. And so just worked really hard. And then I began excelling at things, and I could do them better than a lot of the people that were around me. Then Steve gets saved. And when I got saved, again, I knew that I needed Jesus for salvation. But I thought that what needed to happen was I just needed to know the rules. Just tell me what the rules are, and I will perform the rules, and I will, you know, I will get this thing done. And it wasn't implicit, or actually it wasn't conscious, that I was thinking that I can do this as good as anybody else and maybe even better, because I didn't really have that kind of attitude. But implicit in the whole thing was exactly that. If I work hard enough, then I'm going to be good enough, and I'm going to be able to do the things that God wants me to do. And how do you think that worked out? And the way it worked out was lousy. So for 3 years, I couldn't do anything right, anything, as far as being a Christian. And so I've told you some of my stories before. My first issue was cussing, and I just wanted to stop it. I knew that it was wrong. I knew that those things, you know, the S word and the F word and all these other filthy words that would come out of my mouth, I knew that I wasn't supposed to be doing that. I immediately stopped doing it in certain arenas because I could control myself. But when I got really mad, or when I got hurt or anything like that, F-bombs would come flying out of my mouth, and, you know, all kinds of stuff would go on like that. And I knew that it was wrong. And so I'd repent, and I'd ask God to forgive me, and then I'd go to church, and I'd get encouraged, and then I'd go back out, and I'm not going to cuss this week. I'm going to serve you, Jesus, and I'm going to be a good witness of who you are. And so that would work on Monday, and Tuesday might slip up at the end of the day. By Wednesday, I was falling on my face. And by the time we got back to Sunday, I'm dragging myself back into church feeling like a scumbag for 3 years on everything. My friends would read their Bibles and get all kinds of stuff out of it. I would read my Bible. I didn't understand it. And I'm saved. I'm a Christian. And I didn't understand what the Bible said. I'd go to church. I'd listen to the pastor teaching. And everything, I could see it. Everything that he said, I could see it in the Word. It was the weirdest thing to me. I could see it in the Word, and God would minister to me through it. It was really awesome. And then I knew I had to read my Bible, so I'd go home, and I'd open up my Bible, and I'd go to read it, and it's just like a big, fat nothing burger. And it wasn't like I didn't know how to read. I was really good scholastic. I was reading Shakespeare in high school. And so I had a King James version, but it wasn't even like I didn't know how to read King James English, because Shakespeare is worse than King James English. And so it was just like this weird thing that went on for 3 years, and then I just got tired of it. And I decided, you know, I'm just a jerk, and, you know, it's like I can't do anything right. Obviously, I'm failing at Christianity. And so I quit. I retired as a Christian. And that only lasted about 9 months, and then I ended up coming back to the Lord. And I've told that story before, but basically what happened was I got to the point where I was so sick of what my life was doing, I just went into my bedroom, and I got on my knees, and I started crying. And I just said, Jesus, I can't do this anymore. I'm a lousy heathen. I'm a lousy Christian. I can't do anything right. And if you want me, you're going to have to do something with me. And bam! All of a sudden, everything changes. And within 2 weeks, radical change. And again, I've talked about that before. Friends of mine who had been praying for me, coming over to my house saying, what happened to you? And what happened to me was I finally quit trying to do it on my own. What happened to me is I stopped trying to work at being a Christian and instead depended upon the Lord for the change that comes through the power of His Holy Spirit, and then He did exactly that. I remember I pick up my Bible the day after I pray. That prayer I prayed was at night. The day after, I go home, I pick up my Bible, and all of a sudden, I understand it. And it was like night and day. Like just bam, I can understand it now. And there's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that says a natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they're spiritually discerned. He can't know them. And the word natural man in that passage is not a word that means the non-Christian. The word natural man is a word that means the man who runs his life by his psyche. It's literally the psychikos man. It's a guy who runs his life by his mind. And if there was anything that I was, that was me. I ran my life by my intellect, by my own strength, by my power, that kind of stuff. So in the book of 1 Corinthians, you have the spiritual man and you have the carnal man. Carnal man is somebody who runs his life by what his body says. If it feels good, do it. That's the carnal man. And then the natural man is a guy who runs his life by his mind. And what the Bible says is supposed to happen is it's supposed to be the spirit that is in charge. The mind is there. You still have a brain. You still need to use it. The mind is there and the body is there, but they're all subject to the Spirit of God that is inhabited, or excuse me, the spirit of the man that's inhabited by the Spirit of God, Spirit of God running that person. And you don't get to do it any other way. It's got to go that way. And so that's one of those things that God just basically, and you know, it's not his fault, but he beat that puppy into me. I know that lesson really, really well. And since that point, I don't do the whole knuckle down, buckle down, do it thing. Now, when I'm having a problem, what I'm doing is I'm going straight to the Lord and I'm saying, Jesus, if you don't do something, if you leave me like this, I am always going to be this guy. And so you need to do something here. And what I'm doing is resting in Christ. And that's what this whole chapter is about. Let's go through and read some of it. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Okay, so one of the first things that he talks about in the passage is just like the people in Hebrews, that he's speaking about in Hebrews chapter 3, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, they did not enter the rest of God, and they didn't enter the rest of God because of their unbelief. It was because of their disobedience to God, and specifically that disobedience was unbelief. And so they couldn't enter into the position that God had for them. The word rest, all through this passage, is a word that means to cease one's work or activity, resulting in a period of rest, to rest, to cease from work. And one of the things that Paul says here is that we need to fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. We need to fear not entering God's rest. And again, the reason is pretty straightforward with the introduction that I gave you. If you don't enter into God's rest, you are not going to be the man or the woman of God that God wants you to be. You're never going to be able to do this stuff. And so salvation is something that you can't accomplish on your own. That has to be something that God comes down to earth to perform for you. That's why Jesus goes to the cross. And guess what? Sanctification is becoming more and more like Christ, and you can't do that puppy on your own either. It's why God gives you the power of the Holy Spirit. It's why God talks about resting in the Lord in this passage. It's why he empowers us to live the life that God calls us to live. You realize that what's going to happen when you get to heaven is you're going to be rewarded for the things that Jesus did through you, not the things that you did. You're going to be rewarded for the things that Jesus did through you. And then what you're going to do is you're going to take those rewards, the Bible calls them crowns, you're going to take those rewards off your head. This is in Revelation chapter 4. And you're going to cast them at the feet of Jesus because you're going to know that it wasn't you that did them. It's Jesus who did them through you. And that's the way that this is supposed to work. And if it's not working that way, that's why you're struggling. That's why you keep falling short. That's why you have to keep repenting for the same things over and over again. That's why you feel like you're a loser. That's why. It's because it's not the Lord doing it through you. It's you doing it for him. And you know what? Totally commendable. Totally commendable. That whole 3 years, I didn't want to stop cussing, stop fighting, stop doing all the stuff that I was doing. I didn't want to do that to make myself look good. I wanted to do it because it was right, but I just didn't have the power to do it. And again, that's where all of us sit. You don't have the power to change your life in the way that God wants it changed. And it's a heart change that needs to take place here. So we need to fear lest we fall short of entering into God's rest. So what is it? And when you're looking at the rest of God, there's a number of things that we're going to be speaking about that Paul refers to out of the Old Testament. And the first one has to do with the rest that God had promised the people of Israel if they would follow him. And that rest was going into the land of Canaan. Okay, and so I'm going to, let's go back and look at a passage. It's in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 12, in verses 9 through 11. Deuteronomy is the fifth book. And it says in that passage, "For as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. But when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies round about so that you dwell in safety, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice offerings which you vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates, since he has no portion, no inheritance with you." And so the rest was going into the land of Canaan, getting all these things that God had promised for them, and being delivered from their enemies. And so you see that as a theme throughout the book of Deuteronomy. You also see it in other passages in the law. Then you have Jesus and what he said about rest. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. And you guys are probably familiar with this passage. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And a lot of times, again, when you're talking about somebody who's walking with Jesus, the yoke isn't easy and the burden isn't light. The burden is heavy and the yoke is hard. And when you're in that kind of position, you can know that you haven't entered into Jesus's rest. You're doing something else. You're doing something else. So he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." And so that's where we're at. A lot of times we're laboring, we're working really hard, we're heavy laden, we feel like we've got weights on us and that kind of thing. And Jesus promises, "I will give you rest." See, "take my yoke upon you." A yoke was a steering device. It was also something that was put across a yoke of oxen so that they could pull carts and wagons, that kind of thing. And one of the things that they did with yokes was they shaped them to the animal. And so oxen, cattle have different shaped shoulders, for example. And so the yoke would go right over the neck, right in front of the shoulder, and then it went back. There was a part that went down around the neck to hold it on. And so a carpenter would shape the yoke. Jesus was a carpenter. And Jesus did this kind of stuff. This is what you did in an agricultural society. And so an easy yoke was a yoke that was shaped to the animal. And an easy yoke for us is one that's shaped to us. God's intimately involved in what he puts across your neck, basically, what he puts on your back. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And when he says that, not only is it for carrying a burden, but it's for steering too. And basically what Jesus is saying there is, yeah, there's burdens that I've got for you, but I can make these things easy, and there's a direction that I want you to go, and I need to be the one that is giving you the direction. And so he could say, take my steering wheel upon you, you know? And basically that's what he's talking about. And he says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest. It's a promise. That's a promise. So you'll find rest for your souls if you're coming to Christ. And then Paul, in this passage, if you look down in verse 10 over in Hebrews chapter 4, it says this, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. If you're entering into God's rest, you have ceased from your own works, just like God did from his on the seventh day, okay? And so that's the key. That should be underlined in your Bibles or highlighted, because that's what he's talking about. It's not supposed to be you that's doing the works. It's supposed to be the Lord that's doing these things, okay? And so that's the first point I wanna make. It is bad to come short of God's rest. The failure in the wilderness in this passage was caused specifically by hearing without trusting. And again, you see that in verse 2 and 3. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. And so hearing has to be mixed with faith. You have to trust God through things. And so the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. That's obviously, I got to hear the things that God says to exercise faith. And hearing, and it's the idea of hearing that affects change, is going to come by the word of God. And so I got to be somebody that has faith in the one who's speaking to me. I got to trust the guy. I've got to trust the guy. And so that was their failure in the wilderness. He goes on in the passage, and look at verse 3 again. Verse 3 goes right along with verse 10. For we who have believed do enter that rest as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. We who have believed do enter that rest. And what does the word believe mean? You guys know? Trust in, rely on, and cling to. It doesn't mean I just believe that the Bible says that. Doesn't mean I believe that that's true. It doesn't mean that I believe that God's correct in stating these things. That's not what the word believe means. The word believe means to trust in, to rely on, and to cling to. And so if I'm somebody who is trusting on, in, relying on, and clinging to Jesus, I enter the rest.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today, and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.